Good evening, it's Thursday the 19th of February and you are listening to the first ever Red Army Roundup, a podcast created by Devils fans, for Devils fans and fans of other Elite League teams, hopefully. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Good evening, gents.
Good evening.
Good, Lou. Yeah, sorry.
Aaron is so excited at the first podcast that he just can't wait to get involved.
I believe you.
Sorry, that's tickled me.
And it's this level of professionalism that we're going to just carry on with throughout the podcast. So what we're going to do each week is we're going to look at a roundup of the week just passed for the Devils and, you know, the Elite League as a whole, preview coming games, and then look at a special sort of off-topic section each week. This week we're going to look at the European spots on offer for the teams and the changes that have been announced this week by the Elite League in how they're going to be allocated. So, first of all, the roundup of the week, and what a week it's been. We've had the Scottish triple header and the Blaze Challenge Cup semi-final first leg last night. Starting off with Scotland, we'll run through the games, I think, and, well, first of all, you've just got to mention the fans, haven't you? Another fantastic turnout from the fans. Great noise each week, each game even. And the first game was Edinburgh. I wasn't there myself. I was only at the Brayhead game over the weekend. So, Sean, what were your thoughts on the only game where we dropped a point over the weekend?
Yeah, like, as you said, the first thing you've got to mention is the fans. You know, Red Army travel took, you know, two buses full. A lot of people took the time to fly up on a busy international weekend. Other people did take small minibuses and, you know, drove, made their own way there. I actually watched the game straight afterwards, but that was mainly just to enjoy the Welsh National Anthem, which was absolutely brilliant from all the Devils fans. And they even took the time to get involved with Flower of Scotland, which the Caps didn't. So, always good. Always good when there's the home team singing on National Anthem. the game itself was, it was a strange game. The shot counts pretty much tell the story. The Devils looked dominant in the game, outshooting the Caps 42-18, but, you know, Thomas Hydlowski stood really tall and, you know, Jake Morissette managed to tie the game up midway through the second after Emerson scored their only goal. And I think that, you know, the Caps know how to win on their home ice. That's clear. You know, they've much improved on their home ice this year. And they basically brought the Devils down to play their game. And, the Devils don't know how to play that game. And so I think that Edinburgh, it was more about containment. And you could tell during the overtime period, they had no interest in going for the extra point. You know, they were holding on for that shootout win because they knew they weren't going to win the game in overtime.
That's fair. And, you know, that's two games up in Edinburgh this year that we've lost on a shootout as well, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's one of the cases where, you know, a shootout is always a bit of a lottery, and you've got to think with you'd bet any money on Jake Morissette to score a penalty shot, but he has this one eventually, and it happened to be on the game in Murrayfield.
I think that it's better to miss it at Edinburgh than it would be in the Challenge Cup final or something like that, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. If he's got a miss coming in him, then hopefully that's out of the way for the running now. Following the game as I did online, it looked, you know, it was just constantly Devil's chance, Devil's chance, Devil's chance. Was it a case of we were just shooting straight at the keeper as we seem to do when we're struggling, or was it more Hadlowski standing on his head, would you say?
Hadlowski, what a game he had. Like, it was unbelievable. He was there every shot. He was just saving everything. Couldn't get past him. I don't think, even if we...
Yeah, I
don't even know what to say. He's just unstoppable, I thought.
I think that the, Jake Morissette's goal was one of the, that was the only way we were going to score, was to get bodies in front of him and throw one along the ice. And that's what Morissette did. You know, he just threw it on the net. Someone was stood in front and it happened to go through his five hole. It was one of those where it would have taken a deflection or something like that to beat him because he was that good that game.
Ugly goals is something we don't seem to have scored that many of this year.
No, definitely not. But, we I say it with a heavy heart, but we had enough of ugly goals when Jared Adams was in charge. So.
Definitely. It's not something I'm complaining about, but sometimes you've got to do it to win. You've got to try and score ugly sometimes, haven't you?
Absolutely.
So from the, I think the disappointment of Edinburgh, I think we all headed into Brayhead with quite a lot of anxiety, I think, you know, dropping points against Edinburgh. You don't expect to go into Brayhead's, you know, backyard and pick up anything. And instead, I think we saw probably the most dominant Devils performance of the season, I would have said.
Yeah, well, like I mentioned to you, you know, I didn't see you at the game, but afterwards I said on the bus that was the best 60 minutes we'd played all year, other than maybe the 7-2 result against Coventry, where it was just a demolition. But with Coventry and the way that they performed against us this year, you know, you sort of have to falter at that and maybe agree that this Brayhead game was the best 60 minutes that we played. And, you know, the two goals in the second period were absolutely sublime. You know, Myers stands in front, you throw one on net, Walton throws one on net, and it goes in. And Myers is known for his deflections. I think that's pretty much all he scored this year. and then, you know, moments later, Clarkson stood, you know, slides in front of the net and throws from short side. And
that finishing Clarkson.
I think this weekend, as you said, if we were going to drop 2 points, it would have been in Brayhead.
At least, yeah. Edinburgh, we all thought it was going to be an easy game. We come out of that with a point, disappointed. Then we went to Brayhead and took two from top of the league. And it turned out, so, you know, you can't fault that.
And we really did pick them to pieces, I thought. You know, the passes were on the tape. The forecheck was brilliant. And Bounds basically stopped what he needed to do. There were some stages where he did make some worldies, but yeah, I didn't think they tested him all that much because I thought the D was so tight.
Yeah,
that's the big difference of this year is the D, like how well they're playing as the pay, like in the pairs. Like I wouldn't swap any of the defensive pairs,
no,
just because of how well they're playing.
Which I suppose is not necessarily this match necessarily, but with Hendricks being out, you know, we've not had the pair for the last couple of games. So it's nice to see that we've been able to run five defencemen without, you know, having any problems with that, because, you know, I agree, the pairings have been fantastic. And it was my one concern that if we lost a defenceman, that it would just throw everything to pot, because when we started the year, like, we had Hotham and Hudson on a line together, which was, you know, suicidal at times. Yeah, you know, there's just two players that were far too similar. So, you know, it's another sort of thumbs up, you know, the way we're being coached at the moment is that we're coping with five and rolling different D pairings.
One thing I will say about the game as well is that, you know, we've been known to play quite a physical game this year. Our team's quite physical. And I don't think I saw one, at any stage did we go for the body first. Every time it was knock the puck away and hopefully, you know, get the body after.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we needed to do in that game. We needed to frustrate Brayhead and take the puck away from them and stop them getting into good passing lanes and in the wide areas on the wing. And I think that's what was the game. I think defensively we were sublime.
And I think that's why we didn't miss Trevor Hendricks in the slightest, to be quite honest. Because
he's not known.
He always goes for the hip check. He always goes for the big hit. And, you know, one time out of 10 is not good enough when you're playing up against quick forwards like Brayhead. So I'm glad he sat that game out, to be honest.
It's possibly a little harsh with your 1 out of 10, but he's never a puck first type of guy. That's not what he's thinking as he's coming in with players. But I think not playing a physical game as well was a really good idea, given the inflammatory comments from Finity in the build-up, should we say?
I think that's the perfect word to use, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it's not...
Classic Ryan Finity.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time people thought maybe it was Sims doing it for him when things were coming out of Sheffield, but he's not got that excuse anymore.
No, absolutely not.
And I think if, you know, something had happened, you know, when Smith had his little meltdown at the end, if that had ended up with one of our Brits being quite badly injured, I'd like to think there'd be some comeback on Finity, given the fact that he pretty much just said it's open season because of what happened in our rink. But
yeah,
with the league, I'd be very surprised if anything did happen.
You're right, absolutely.
But talking about the league, by the time this sort of goes out, it may have been announced, but Sims is commenting about the title race being thrown open very cryptically. And, you know, I'm imagining that's going to be bans for Brayhead players. Almost certainly Chris Frank for that headbutt, which was probably worse than the Convoy one last season, would you say?
I can't comment. I wasn't there.
Same. I wasn't there either. So.
Oh, right. Fair enough. Yeah. But he definitely led with the head. And I did.
I think it was. I wouldn't have said it was. You know, I think a headbutt, for me, a headbutt is Zinedine Zidane. You know, that's a headbutt. And in fairness to Frank, it looked sort of like they were going head to head, and he sort of pushes his head against him rather than actually taking a swing with his head. You know, let's face it, if he was going to hurt him, he would take a whack with his head, because, you know, it's not going to hurt him because there's no doubt in there.
That's fair enough. That's probably a good point. But it's one of those things, I think, leading with the head is just one of those things that's frowned upon and pretty much will always get you, will always see you take a decent-sized ban, I think.
Massive kudos in that game as well to Chris Jones for standing there, like, you know, how tall is he? 5'4"? 5'5"?
Yeah, he can't be much more than that.
Maybe a bit more? Yeah, but to stand there on that face-off, take the cross check from Smith, give him a little slash just to show that he knew, you know, he knew he was having a go at him, and then take about 6 cross checks.
Yeah.
And not skate away, but to stand him up. Fair play to Chris Jones. That guy is gonna.
He's gonna go
really far, mainly because of his confidence. And I really, really, really like Chris Jones, and I thought he had a great game. And standing up to Smith like that is, you know, to a big guy like that who's literally there just to goon it up, and, you know, massive, massive kudos to Chris Jones.
That's a fair point. And as we're talking about the end of the game, I do just want to give a quick mention to the funniest thing I've seen on ice this year, of Fitzgerald popping red balloons after the buzzer went, which, well, I think it was the cherry on the cake for me in that game.
It was, yeah.
The cherry on the cake was when Myers floored Smith.
Oh, that was quality. How brilliant. Jeff Smith allegedly spits in Myers' face, and Myers gives him a love tap, and he falls flat on ice.
It has been.
I've never seen. Do you know what? That reminded me of when when Finity was playing for Sheffield and Jayla Tulip did exactly the same thing to him at the blue line.
Yes, yeah, it was like that. I've seen it written on the internet that it was a kiss on the nose that Smith gave Myers rather than spitting in him.
Yes, absolutely. Of course
which,
it was. Of
you know, was. If that's what it is, it's not as bad, you know. We give him some credit. We'll get. That's probably the one bit of credit that Brayhead probably deserved from the game, actually, given that it was a pretty flat performance from them.
It's the worst I've seen. Like, whenever they come down to us, or like when we went up there for the double, you know, when we was up there for the double, they just ran rings around us all for the 60 minutes. But there wasn't a player that I've seen the last couple of games.
Yeah, they weren't league champions that night.
No, they. Let's be honest, they probably will be. But yeah, that's not the performance of a championship winning team.
No, they'll be a part. You know, they'll be a part championship team. It's like Brian Clough said about Leeds. You know, they've been champions, but they've not been good champions.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so. You put an asterisk next to them because of the conference system, but
absolutely.
That's another discussion, I think. and, you know, I'm not sure how, as again, I wasn't at the Dundee game. I'm not sure how your memories would be holding up after 3 days drinking with Red Army by the time you got to there. But a 4-2 victory to round off quite a successful weekend. As dominant, you know, is it as close as the scoreline suggests? You think a 2-goal margin isn't a massive one?
I think that the 2 goals was fair for the way that we played. I don't think that the Devils played it more than sort of 60% for the entire game. I always felt like that if something was going to go wrong and we were going to go down a goal, we had the extra 40% to go and grab another one or another two. And it was one of those games where I didn't feel like we did play our best, because I didn't think we needed to. We beat what was in front of us, and that was it.
And it was nice to see Will start in goals as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Showed what he's worth, and definitely the best backup in the Elite League.
100%.
Oh, definitely. I think that's probably not even in doubt at this time.
No.
Well, put it this way. How many other backups have we seen play, or how many other teams have signed another keeper when theirs are injured?
All of them.
Exactly, yes. That's what I mean. Yeah, the only one that can say, well, if Bounce is injured, we can check Will in and be confident.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's, there's no worries there if you think he's got to come onto the ice, is there?
No.
Is that about it from Dundee then? Just we did what we had to do and...
I think that's all it is. You know, yeah. Again, fans, brilliant. National anthem, brilliant. But yeah, we beat what was in front of us, and that was it.
And I think with the schedule we had, it's good that we had a game like that. I think this, you know, three games in three nights, with a game on the Wednesday looming. That's we couldn't have asked for anything better. I wouldn't have thought.
No, we couldn't. And that's a very good segue onto Wednesday itself, I would imagine.
As that is a fantastic segue. You, it would have been really smooth if it wasn't pointed out, I think. yeah, and, well, speaking of not having things much better, another massive turnout from the Devils fans and a victory, and I've got to say, quite a commanding one to take into the second leg, I would say.
Yeah, a 4-1 victory in the Sky Dome. You know, I'll take that every day of the week. Coventry this year, you know, we've had their number on in the Sky Dome. They've not beaten us at all this year. You know, I was one of the first people to say that I was very nervous about last night because of how much Coventry have improved. And they just looked like exactly like they did before Christmas.
It was crazy. You know,
they didn't look like a team that had just had a 4-point weekend against the Belfast Giants. Let's just put it out there. They were slow. They didn't have any sort of creativity. They lacked drive going forward. And I think the only players that really gave it the all was Tanaka, Sindel, and possibly Stewart.
Yeah, I think Tanaka's one guy that you never see putting anything less than 100%. For me, him and Stewart have probably been the two sort of shining lights for Coventry this year whenever we've seen them.
But I think that Stewart last night, I think that he had a good game, but I think it's one of the worst games he's played against us.
Yeah, since I think the first couple of games he got, crowd got on his back and it actually shook him up. But yeah, he wasn't great last night, I didn't think.
Well, with a netminder, you know, he always looks like he's trying. But he didn't have a great game. You know, 26 shots, 4 goals. Doesn't bode well for a netminder of Brian Stewart's ability, because I think, like you said, he's been the shining light in that Blaze team this year, keeping him in a lot of games. And with a ratio like that of 26, like I said, 26 shots, 4 goals, doesn't bode well for his statistics, and it really doesn't showcase how good he is.
Not at all. And I think that's... I'm not 100% that the shots camp from that game are accurate.
We weren't
outshot 39-26 in that game, I wouldn't have said. So
I think the only period they come alive was the third. In the first and second, we was just dominant, and we was on that net more than we wasn't, really. And in the final third, it was all Devils, all for the both periods.
I think the first period was a strange one, because, you know, we didn't score the goal until maybe about 70 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I thought that going into the first period with it tied would have been... No, I would have taken that, because I didn't think we were at our best. You know, and the shots in that were 10-11, so a pretty even period.
It was tight, just, I think, getting the goal. Was it... It's got to be less than a minute after Coventry scored the opener. I think, you know, that was... That burst their crowd into life, and I think the goal shut the crowd out.
We scored the first goal.
We scored the first goal.
No, we didn't. Yeah, we did. Sorry, I'm talking.
You're going to have to edit that out, mate.
So I'll, don't worry about editing it. I'm willing to look stupid. That's fine. I'd had too much to drink. It was my birthday. That's my excuse. Yeah, so, yeah, the first period. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah. You're talking in the second period when Maya scored a second. And a few minutes later, Sindel scores one, but it actually ricochets off Hotham's foot and bounces, thinking, you know, you're going to do this to me again? You know, just like he did at Edinburgh. He said, really? Really, Hotham? You're going to do this to me again? And you know, Mummy Bounds was sat in the second row and looked up at me, and I looked down, and Mrs. Bounds went, we're going to fall out. I think you're referring to straight after that goal where, you know, it brought the Blaze crowd to life. I think it was about 20 seconds later?
Yes, yeah.
And Culligan skates around the back of the net and just feeds Tartan it beautifully, and he throws it upstairs. And
How nice was it to see Tartan score, though?
Yes, very good. I think that'll open the floodgates. And
I've been really impressed with Tartan and what he's brought to the team. He's not a standout player at all, I don't think. But
absolutely not. I don't think that's what we need. I think we've got a lot... I think with Joey Martin and... and a few players like that. We've got a lot of superstars and a lot of key guys, but I think he brings a calm head to it, and I think that last night he was very, very good.
I think if you look at his stats, though, like, it doesn't show that he's that good of a player. And like, when he was coming, I was really worried. But the way he plays, he's absolutely outstanding. I think he is tape to tape with every single pass.
Absolutely.
Except for when across the net, which was a little bit risky.
Well, let's just, you know. He's always going to end on a negative, Aaron. Always going to end on a negative. Score a goal. There we go. There's the positive, Mike.
It's positive. And, well, after the Tottenham goal, we had what I'm confident to call my favourite goal of the season. That goal, just, it couldn't have been timed any better.
See, there you go. We know what it is straight away, just because we don't even have to know who scored it or what goal it was. You could have just said goal of the season, and we would have said Andrew Lord's, you know, buzzer-beating goal at the end of the second period straight out of the box. What a goal.
Even before you
never seen anyone skate so fast.
No, even before the goal, you think, you know, we were 5-on-3 for quite a while.
5-on-2.
Well, yeah, because
Hoffman lost his stick.
Hoffman lost his stick for a good 30 seconds of that as well. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, God, it's going to be 3-2 here going into the third, and we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And then just for that to happen, it was unreal.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And that sealed the game then. I think it killed Coventry off, really. And I know they came back in the third, but I think they were a beaten team at that point.
Yeah, totally.
And hopefully they still feel the same when they come to us next week.
Yeah, well, you know, like everyone's saying, 4-1, this tie is over. It's not. If anyone knows about, you know, bring it back, you know, if there's one team in our history we brought back leads, you know, we've been 3 down and come back, it's against Coventry. And Coventry has their fan base, and Chuck Webber's not going to. Come on, yeah. If we can beat them by 3 goals in their place, they can beat us by 3 goals in ours.
Exactly. And this one's the one I'm worried most about, because last 2 games, they beat us twice. Best performance I've seen them play. And to be honest, I think we're going to be a little bit overconfident and not come out 100%, and they're going to beat us. I think they'll beat us. Not knocks out. We'll qualify, but they'll beat us.
Well, let's touch wood and hope we can...
Yeah.
We can just grab an earlier one and completely kill it off.
First goal for us ends the tie, doesn't it?
Absolutely. If we score the first goal, we can all go home. You know, it's midweek. Some of us will go work in the morning.
So that was the week. And is there a better week we've had this season in terms of just in terms of everything? And that's a week without a home game in it, but just a thoroughly enjoyable 4 games of hockey from the club.
Fantastic. Well, you know, a triple header is always going to be fun, and you always expect to come away with maybe 3 points. You know, a point a game you would take, because it's tough. You know, these guys aren't used to it. Even in North America, you don't play 3 games in 3 nights. You know, you play 1 game on the night off, and so on. But what a weekend, and for the team to appreciate what they've done, and everything that's gone out on social media, from Andrew Lord coming up to the bar in Dundee, getting on the stage, thanking the fans, doing his Reggie Dunlop team talk to all the fans, and absolutely brilliant. What a weekend. And then to top it off with Wednesday was just a dream.
Oh, still think I am dreaming, to be honest.
So that's the week, and I think we're going to look each week to try and come up with the Devils player of the week, and possibly an opposition player, you have anyone who stood out, but who would be your pick, guys, for the Devils player of, well, over the last 4 games?
Well, see, this we've said everything first this time. This time you go first. Who's your player of the week?
I've realised I haven't really thought about it that much. Based on, I only saw the 2 games from the team, the Brayhead and the Blaze game last night. Andrew Lord is just, last night, he was everywhere. In a game where I don't think we really had any standouts, because it was just such a solid all-round performance, probably in Brayhead and Coventry, he was the one who just seemed to be that little bit taller and led from the front, which is something he's done all year, but he'd have my pick based on the 2 games.
Fair enough. Myself, like you said, Andrew Lord has been unbelievable over the last few weeks. I've heard a few criticisms saying that, you know, with the coaching, he's maybe not playing as well as he was last year, and I disagree completely, because I think that it's made him I think it's made him a better player, I got to be honest. And like you said, now he gets to lead off the ice and on the ice, and I couldn't think of a better man to do the job. But over the maybe over the four games, my standout player, I would say, will be Tyson Marsh. And, you know, this year I've been very critical of Tyson Marsh. I think he's a great guy, but all weekend, you know, heads and shoulders above everyone else. Deserved man of the match on Friday in Edinburgh. It was absolutely brilliant. Saturday, no mistakes again, and carried it through the weekend. I hope he finishes the season as he played this weekend.
Aaron, have you got a...
Yeah, well, I'm going to disagree with both of you, so I'm going to go for Matt Myers. That's just solely on the stats, like 3 goals and an assist in 4 games. Like, that's not bad going. And I think since, well, I just think he's proven everyone wrong, because everyone's doubting him and not thinking he's that great of a player, and he's putting it on the score sheet at the moment, so you can't fault him.
Absolutely. I was just looking down the list of names on our team and looking at who stood out, and I think after Marsh, I would be inclined to agree with you, because Myers has been, you know, like I said, I've been very critical of Myers this year, and I'm not his biggest fan, but I really think he's turned it on since he's come back from his injury, and he's really found his feet again, you know, and he's finally playing for the badge.
He's shown the difference, and no disrespect to CJ at all. You know, we've just spoken about how good he's going to be. But the difference in the line when Myers is on it compared to CJ.
Oh, absolutely.
Just you know, it really puts into context, you know, what he does bring to the team. And now he's bringing it on the score sheet as well. I think, you know, that's the guy that we signed at the start of last season. That's what we were trying to get in, the guy we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we've seen it since he's come back as well, which is a bit of a shame. But you know, if he carries on like that, can't fault it at all.
Let's keep it going forward.
Yeah. So we've got absolutely no unanimous decision there.
Nope.
Does anyone want to cede that ground? Or are we just going to... I'm going to step out and it'd be Marsh and Myers can split it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because you guys have, as I said, saw more of it, so... And I've been impressed with Tyson, and like you, he's not the same player he was last season, but we're starting to see it again now.
Yeah.
Anyone stood out particularly in the away from the opposition for you guys over the weekend?
I think it would be a travesty not to mention the sensation in Edinburgh that is Dennis Ricks.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a player.
Unbelievable. You know, I come out of nowhere this year. You know, he's just works so hard and is the absolute heartbeat of that team. I think in terms of flow, you know, he's one of Hudson's biggest rivals in the league. But as a player, top marks. Really, really great signing for the Caps. Hopefully they can keep him there next year.
Fantastic. So Dennis Ricks gets the first opposition player of the week. That's so we've looked backwards. I think it's time to have a quick look at what we've got coming up. We're not going to talk about the Blaze second leg, because whilst we're going out on a Thursday night tonight, our regular slot is going to be a Monday. So we'll review this weekend's action on Monday, and we'll look forward to the following weekend and the Blaze second leg. So all we'll be covering now is the Nottingham game away on Saturday. And we've got Fife home then on the Sunday. I think Nottingham is going to be a really big test for us. We've come through a tough schedule. It's always a tough place to go anyway. I think the guys did really well to keep it up last night. And I wonder if we're going to see the effects of it when we get to Nottingham Saturday. A little bit fearful for that one.
Yeah, I think that, as you said, the fatigue maybe we're going to finally start to see that hangover. And with Nottingham, it's a very, very hard place to take 2 points from. We've done it once this year in a shootout, and Nottingham have come to our building, and I think they've taken 4 points in total from our building at some stage. So for us to go to Nottingham and get 2 points would be a massive, massive statement that we're not lying down, and we're not going to let Brayhead win it that easily, or Nottingham win it that easily, that we really, really want to go for it. And as you said, it's a massive, massive test for us as a team, and you know, hopefully we can come over the 2 points. But to be honest, that's a game I'd take a point from.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's very rare that you'd consider a point to be a bad result from the NIC.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's very hard to win there. Panthers play a very good game at home. You know, their fans get right on top of it. And it is one of the hardest places to win in the league.
You know, from my personal point of view, I know to look at the league table, we're 3 points off Brayhead. But I think between now and the end of the year, we can probably afford to drop 2 points if we think we're going to win the league. So whilst take a point, I think if we seriously want to get first, I think we need a win. But you know, it'd be a bit of a shame not to. In terms of that, but like I said, I personally don't think we're going to get the top spot.
If I'm honest, I think that we're going to win Sunday. Touch wood. Like, that's just because they only get the 1 day rest. We've had two. I know we've had a busy schedule, but it's 1 day rest more we get them. And I think we'll just come away with it. It's not going to be a massive win. One goal or maybe shoot out, but I think we'll win. I think we'll win the rest of the season as well.
Right. Okay, so that's Saturday. Currently, I think Nottingham leading Sheffield 3-1 at the Motorpoint Arena.
As we're on air, yeah.
As we're recording, so by the time this goes out, you'll know the result of that, we'll know the result of that. And as you said, Aaron, I think the day's rest, I think that's our one saving grace, is that we have got the 1 day of extra preparation over Nottingham.
And you were very positive there, so you've taken on board Sean's criticisms from earlier, so good work. And then probably a tricky little game against Fife at home on the Sunday. They're still they're still close enough to ninth. They're fifth at the moment, but they're still close enough to ninth that they need to be looking over their shoulder. So yeah, there's not an easy ride there, and you know, they've shown all season they can get a result anywhere. But I'm confident on that one. I think the way we are at the moment, I'm pretty confident. But
yeah, I think that it's Fife is a good team, particularly on their home ice, but they've struggled a lot on the road. I think when we beat them down here, I think it was 7-4, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was.
But I think we ran away with it, and we just let a few soft goals in, and but it was pretty comfortable from what I recall. But you can't take anyone for granted in this league, because every game is a banana skin in this league.
That's the good thing about this year.
I've got some. Go on.
So I was just saying that's the good thing about this year, that I think probably for the first time in quite a few years,
anyone can be anyone.
Yeah, anyone can be anyone, and it's a good thing, except when you're looking at your own team.
When you're on the receiving end of it, yeah. Yeah, well, Fife have got some good firepower. You know, Bobby Chamon's got 60 points in 51 games this year, 25 goals. Ned Lukasiewicz has come in and got a bag full of points, 54-51. Fleming, 52-51. You know, they got a few point of game scorers, and they're a team not to be taken not to be taken too lightly.
As confident as us, Aaron?
Yeah, I think we're going to give 100% obviously up in Nottingham, and I think we're just going to tone it down a bit when we're in Fife, when we're at home, sorry. And I think we're coming away with a win. It's not going to be a convincing win. I think that, obviously, like, my favourite player for Flyers is Fulton. I think he's an outstanding player.
Yeah, great player.
I signed him in day of the week, but I think he's going to... Well, he scored an hat-trick against us last time. I think he's going to throw himself about. And I don't know. It's a tricky one for me, I think. Tricky one.
So you've been a tight
game. This is the first time we get to see Matt Nickerson in the flesh this year as well.
Yeah.
He was banned for our last game.
Yes.
I think that, I hope Clarkson and him go for it again, straight off face off.
Well, I say this is the first time we're going to see him in the flesh. You know, he may get banned on Saturday, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing Nickerson, I wouldn't book him a place on the bus.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him and Clarkson go, because the Flyers webcast was so awful last time. I got to watch it in stop motion rather than actually happening, so it would be nice to see him go. That's the week that's coming up for us. Anything else we wanted to cover off coming up, guys?
No, I think that we've gone through everything we need to. I think that for us to maintain a league title or a league title challenge, we need 3 out of 4 points minimum.
Yeah. And I've just had a quick look at the other fixtures this weekend, and I've noticed that Coventry have got both Sheffield and Nottingham, so...
Oh, ouch.
They could do us a bit of a favour. Well, difficult games for them in the build-up, and hopefully they can do us a bit of a favour, given their results against Belfast.
If Coventry are going to want to build any momentum ahead of the cup, and you know, they could do us a few favours there as well, but, you know, it's tough. You know, Nottingham, good team this year. Sheffield, under a lot of pressure, so... Yeah, flip a coin and anyone can win those games.
Yeah, be an odd situation where I think there'd be quite a few Devils fans rooting for the Blaze for a change.
Yes, very nice. Very nice to hear.
Only the second time this league.
Right, so with the Elite League done, as we mentioned at the start, there's a bit of an off-topic discussion. This week the league's announced that the Elite League have got a second place in the CHL for next season, so we're going to be sending two teams over, and we've still got the one place in the Continental Cup that we always have. Before the announcement, the league champions were going to be getting the CHL spot, and the Continental Cup spot was going to the Challenge Cup winners. That's been changed now in that the first and second place in the league will go to the CHL, and the playoff winner will get the Continental Cup spot. So I suppose the biggest talking point there for me is, you know, the league shifting all of the focus off the Challenge Cup, and whether you think that's a good thing or not, guys.
Yeah, not for me. I think that you know, the Challenge Cup is a much tougher trophy to win in this league than the playoffs is, and I think that to win three games and have the honour of representing your league in a European competition isn't really justified, to be honest with you. You know, If the Devils win the Challenge Cup this year and don't win the playoffs or get first or second, I'm going to be absolutely devastated, because I'd love to go watch them in Europe. And I honestly do think that although everyone likes to win the playoffs, it's the last trophy, you go into the summer as winners and yada, 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 the Challenge Cup is a lot more difficult trophy to win. You know, period. You know, you've got to go through your group stages, two-legged affairs, and then a one-off final in an alleged neutral venue.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, on that case, not very impressed. But with the CHL, it's great that we got another spot, and it really, you know, it's a testament to Neil Black and Gary Moran and the Nottingham Panthers of how well they represented the Elite League in the CHL, and for them to award us another one is massive for the growth of the Elite League.
Definitely. I disagree with you in a way. I agree with everything you've just said, but I still think the Challenge Cup should have had the Continental spot. But personally, I would have given the second CHL spot just to the playoff winners. And, you know, like you said, it's not a big competition to win, but it's something that the league hangs its hat on, and the league wants to seem important.
Yeah, so give it that incentive.
So in that way, there's three trophies, you know, if we take out the conferences. There's three trophies to win. Every one comes with a European spot if they did it that way.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, the Challenge Cup especially is a bit getting to do it this late, where there's four teams. We're all looking at it thinking, oh, that's our way into Europe. And then all of a sudden, you won't get that.
Yeah, to pull the rug under their feet.
But whether there's any thought goes into any decision that comes out of the league or not, but...
Well, okay, turn it on its head then, and... I think with the Continental Cup, you give that spot to the playoff winners, because obviously it's a lesser European competition, and, you know, say for example, if Fife win the playoffs, I think they're more likely to compete in, you know, the Continental Cup rather than they are the CHL. So maybe flip it on its head and give the Champions Hockey League spot to the team that wins the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask why they've done it. But I think your point is why they've done it. The top two in the league is going to be one of the big teams. You know, there's a chance that one of the lesser teams, you know, I don't mean that disparagingly at all, could win the playoffs or the Challenge Cup, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is a cup competition.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think the league has sort of looked at that and probably panicked a little bit, maybe even panicked this year that, you know, Coventry are now coming into their own, fight for a good team on their day. that they were going to win, that they were going to win something and to put it in the league, and they haven't got to worry about it. They know that it's going to be one of their flagship teams are going to be there and hopefully not embarrass us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron, have you got any thoughts on the European?
I'm new to all this, so in my opinion, any extra cup to win is a good cup to win. But I'll just be happy for it to start here, yeah, so I can get this nightmare of a postseason out of the way.
So basically, get the CHL qualification just so you have a week less of an off season.
Yes.
Fantastic.
If I'm being honest, I'd rather have the Continental Cup just because it falls on a weekend, so it's easier to travel to. And I think it'll be a little bit of an easy, not to say the Devils.
Realistic, I think is the word.
Yeah. Realistic chance of doing well in that tournament.
Yeah, I agree completely. Nottingham got that brilliant win against the side from the DEL. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Hamburg in the NIC, but, I think if I had to choose one of them at the moment, at the stage where the Devils are at the moment playing out of the BBT, I would pick the Continental Cup. And that's from my selfish view of wanting it to be a weekend as well. But to play in the CHL would be massive to show that, we have got the intentions to build that for the future. So, I'd be ecstatic at any to get there, because like Paul and, Paul, you and I have been fans since, the BNL days, and all we ever hear is, Minsk this and
Tilburg that,
and it's awful to listen to it and think we'd never watched our team in Europe. And I think that would be the massive crown jewel in our season this year, to be able to go to Europe next year as a result of how good a season we've had.
I think out of all the teams, we're the team that deserves it most. I think out of anything, like including all the cups, getting through to Europe. It's the most, in my eyes, it's the most prestigious team in the league with the history, so I don't see why we can't do it again.
It's mainly what Sean said is why I want to go to Europe, though. I just want to shut up everyone who's been before. Well, not shut them up, but,
We've done it too.
We can join in then. the standard is one of the sort of big reasons why the Continental Cup is better, but you're looking at the CHL, would it be a good thing for the club? There's going to be extra costs. You've got, at the very least, you've got an extra 2, maybe 3 weeks worth of wages for your players. Mm-hmm. And then the big decisions, you go down the Nottingham route of signing. Do you sign multiple, extra imports to cut them then as the Elite League season starts? Or do you just try and sign a better standard of player and keep him for the year and just up your budget for the whole season?
Do you know what? I think Nottingham, everyone talks about Nottingham and the revolving door and all this. I think they had to sign those players to have a chance of competing in that competition. They won a game, which, you never thought that they would do that with opponents like that who play in, these are some of the best leagues in the world. And they beat the DEL side. And, you never would have expected that. And I think it's created a lot of links. Matthias Modig has come from one of the teams that they played, one of their junior teams, and he's been, decent. He's been good injury cover for Craig Kowalski. Colby Cohen's come back and, played well, kicked out. It's forged some good links for them. And I think if we could do something similar just give me a European competition, but like you said, preferably the Continental Cup for myself. I think some say that would lack ambition, but for a team where we currently are right now, let's keep our feet on the ground.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever admit it, but I think the club would possibly agree with that as well, in that they won't incur any extra. They'll obviously incur the travel costs, but they won't have to worry about the extra players going down the Nottingham route. So the budget will solely be focused on the league, and we'll just take that team over with us. I think you're right the way across the board, and I agree. What Nottingham did, I didn't have a problem with at all. I saw a lot of fans criticising them for breaking the import limit, and my attitude all the way through was the other teams they're playing haven't got an import limit, so why should Nottingham have to stick to it?
My basic attitude to that was, I thought that Nottingham would there's always the argument of having a European, a distraction with the European competition. You know, Arsenal have used it for the last 10 years in the Premier League for not winning it. And I thought it would work the other way. With Nottingham signing up the squad that they did, I thought they were going to cut the lesser players. But instead, you know, Colby Cohen left, Nathan Robinson left. And, you know, not that Nottingham have got a bad side, but I think if you replace a few players and add Robinson into the mix and add Cohen into the mix at the start of the year and kept those guys on, they would be much higher up in the league table.
Massively, the league. I do think on their day, Nottingham have probably been the best team this year. And I think
a lot more conservative this year. They've played a very different style.
That's the style that won in the league a couple of years ago as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Corey Nielsen bothers to sign a defence, Nottingham do well. So, you know, it's a lesson for him. But yeah, I think they'd be running away with the league without the CHL distraction, personally.
That's one reason why I don't want. Obviously, it's all great and good to go in, but I just think, like, Nottingham at the beginning of the season, like, they were absolute. Well, they weren't poor, but they were in the team that they have been, and I just don't want that to happen to us.
But I think, you know, Sean was saying, you know, the cutting of players, they had extra imports sat in the stand every game. It must have been really hard for them to get any sort of consistency over those first month or two, so. You know, the new structure, with it being before the season, hopefully within one of them, like we said, and it won't affect us in the way that it's affected Nottingham or affect any of the other teams. But a massive, I think it's a massive thing for the league as well, that all the top five teams have all said that they will go if they make it this year.
Yeah.
You know, Nottingham got it by default.
Huge for that.
Sorry, Sean.
No, it's, you know, like you said, the fact that all five of, you know, the top half of the league have said that, you know, they'd be up for it. And I think that does show real ambition from all the clubs. You know, with Sheffield declining it last year and Belfast obviously not able to get the ice time and Nottingham having to accept it and wanting to do it. And like I said, it's real testament to them, you know, because they showed that it worked for them. You know, they might have, you know, obviously people talk about Nottingham having the most money in the league and all that razzle-dazzle, but if any team is willing to go for it, then it shows that the Champions Hockey League is you know, it worked last year. And that's what it's all about. If it works and it's sustainable, then that's the most important thing.
And that seems like a fantastic note to round up. Well, use the word round up. Round up the first Red Army roundup. thank you both. Thank you to everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any feedback, please let us know. You can find us on Twitter at Red Army Roundup. We're on Facebook, again, Red Army Roundup. And if you want to drop us an email, it's redarmyroundup@outlook.com. So, we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, please share this with anyone and everyone. We want as many people listening as possible. So we'll be back probably Monday evening or Tuesday. It might hit the airwaves, sorry. And we're on Podomatic as well, redarmyroundup.podomatic.com. You can follow us on there, so every time there's a new episode, you'll get a notification and you can download it straight away. So Aaron and Sean, thank you guys. And we'll be back on the air soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.